We are thankful to see each one here this evening. We desire your prayers. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to turn to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this night, and Lord, look at an opportunity to study and learn from your word. Father, we pray that you would lead and guide by your Holy Spirit. Father, you know the need better than we do. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. We pray that your will would be accomplished. And Father, we pray that we'd only teach that would be according to your word. That Father, we could be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In James chapter 1, I'm going to look at the end of this chapter, and what we're doing is we've been going through and studying about some of the functions of the church, and we're dealing now with ministry. And I know, sadly, there are so many that think that ministry is just, ministers preaching the gospel. That is a form of ministry. We'll even read a little bit on that a little bit later, of what ministry that is, and certainly we'll go and study that a little bit later. But I want to look tonight about pure religion that's talked about in verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, Christianity over the years has done a lot of good in a lot of places. And even in the early church, you go back and you find that they took care of widows in the church and they took care of other things. In all honesty, probably a trip overseas helped us to see some of that in places where it's really needed. You know, we kind of got spoiled here in America. We got Social Security programs, and we've got this program for this need, and we got food programs, and we got a thing for everything in the world. But that's not the way that it's always been done. And still, even in that, you're still to care about people's loneliness. You're still to care about people's needs. Just because an orphan might have a bed and might have, a place to stay and might have food in his belly, doesn't need somebody in his life to take care of him or her, boy or girl, to help them along the way. There's still needs that need to be filled there if they don't have a mother or father. And even so with a widow. Just because, again, they got food, they may have shelter and different things, doesn't mean that they don't get lonely. It doesn't mean that they don't need a phone call or to be checked on. And these are things that the church has always tried to do, that we've tried to take care of things. And again, certainly we've seen things even overseas where, the church is really, they make sure that they even have a bed, they even have food, and they have the basic necessities of life, because when you're dealing with poorer areas and poorer countries, they have to take up that. In fact, I talked to a minister even this morning from over in Kenya that he's had to take in three young children that are orphans into his house and into his care. And that's what people with poverty, I find some people even here in America that make the statement, well, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to help somebody out. I don't know how we can't. I don't know how some people that have nothing can still make that sacrifice, and yet some that have more can't make that kind of a sacrifice. I don't know how we can't do that. And I've certainly seen people, even within our sister churches, and that have been foster parents, that have tried to take in people, that have tried to be a help to people. I had somebody one time tell me, well, it's written in our bylaws that the association doesn't do orphanages. And I said, that's because we believe in the independence of every individual church. And we don't believe forcing churches to support something that they don't necessarily agree with. And if there was an orphanage, how it's carried on, you might disagree with or agree with or whatever. But individual churches have all freedom to do a lot of things. And there's a lot of liberty given to the churches. And I think sometimes that we've kind of used that as a crutch to say, well, we can't do anything. There's nothing stopping any church from starting an orphanage if they so choose to do so. And there's also nothing stopping an individual if they want to go through the process and everything and feel a burden of the Lord to do an orphanage on their own and start things up that way and then have people come in and work and help it. There is nothing stopping people from doing things that is according to Scripture. There's nothing whatsoever. And yet a lot of times people seem to have a pause or have something holding them up. And I want to remind us that these things that we just mentioned is pure religion and undefiled before God. And it doesn't need to be overlooked. It doesn't need to be put on a back burner somewhere. It needs to be something that's fervent in our heart that we have a desire to help those that are in need. To help those that, need help in this life. And certainly orphans and certainly widows in their affliction certainly need that in this world. And as God's people, we need to have a burden to look out and care for them. I'm going to turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 6. I know a lot of times when we read this, we read and view this, well, this is deacon's work. And I'll say this on top, if it was deacon's work, there's a lot of deacons lacking then. Because a lot of this work is not done. Sometimes I've seen it in some churches where the deacons think, well, that means I'm kind of the treasurer. I've got some other position. But a deacon's job is really to take a load off the minister so that he can focus on feeding the flock, as we'll see here. And so there is a ministry work there, and I'm not trying to preach on the deacon side of it. I really want to focus just on the fact that this was dealing with widows that were neglected. As far as the daily, and notice the word that's used at the end of verse 1, ministration. What are we dealing with when you're dealing with a ministration? You're dealing with a ministry. You're dealing with work being done out of a heart of love to care for people that are in need. And so we begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 6, and it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And notice there's some business being tended to by the church. There's some needful business being tended to. And it is a service job. It is not a job you're getting paid for. It's not a job you're getting a lot of praise for. It's a sacrifice that was done in. And I know that they had thousands of members in this body, and they're requesting 7 people to be in charge of this. 7 out of thousands. And so that kind of reminds me of churches. Are there times when maybe a pastor can work in a church and he's able to take care of a lot of these things, maybe in smaller churches? Yes, that's possible. Are there times where one deacon might could take care of it? Yes, that's possible. I think when you have more than one, though, it kind of helps. At least that somebody's not taking everything upon themselves, and certainly not even the pastor taking everything upon themselves. Assistance, help. Goes a long way, and that's what ministration is. That's what these ministries are about, is about helping things within the church so that the church works smoother together. And it's for the purpose that it becomes more spiritual and caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ, because notice who these widows were. They were part of the church, weren't they? And I know I could turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and go to a widow that's a widow indeed, and deal with those qualifications. I believe that we're all familiar with that. There were qualifications for the church to support a widow. We understand that. And, of course, the first responsibility was that her family took care of her. That was the first responsibility, and I don't think we ever need to overlook that. But there were people that didn't have family, evidently, to take care of them. And they had some ministration going on for these widows. And so they called these men up and said, "Look, we need 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." And again, I'm not trying to preach on that side of it, but the ministry of the Word is what we call pastors and missionaries and things of that nature. And they do need to give a lot of time to study And they do need to give a lot of time of being there for the spiritual needs of the people, not just the physical needs. And so we need to look at these things, and we need to find what God would have us to do, because these are doctrines taught in the Gospels, or taught in the Word of God, that we need to accomplish as God's people. And so they were taking care of the widows. And certainly I believe that they were also taking care of orphans that would be needed to be tended to also. But I want to ask a question. How much ministry is being done by the Lord's churches today? You know, a lot of things that churches do today is focused on themselves and not helping others. And I'll give an example, and I'm not preaching for or against anything. I'm not trying to get into that side of it tonight. But I know a church that tried to build a nice fellowship hall. They had ovens and they had tables and they had all this other stuff. But you know who it was for? It was for the church to have entertainment. To entertain themselves. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. Probably over $100,000 in many of the situations. If not more. Spent. And who was it to help? Me. It was to make us feel better. It was to make us more comfortable. It was to entertain ourselves, so to speak. Oh, we're going to have fellowship. And listen, fellowship's good. I've got nothing wrong with fellowshipping. Fellowship's taught in Scripture. We've even dealt with some of that in the study. But are we leaving out some other things that God would have us to do? I think a lot of times we're seeing the heart of even God's people in the world today. I talked to a man that went to a pretty nice sized church one time, and I asked him about it, and he said, listen, he said, I'm about tired of hearing how much the church needs this and needs that. He says, it's all about us. And he said, it's nothing about the people that actually need the gospel. He said, we're not talking about missionaries that need money. He said, we're not talking about, you know, people that are starving in the community and us reaching out to the poor. He said, we're not talking about trying to help the widows in the church and help their needs and help people that may have lost their jobs and dealing with hard times. He said, we're not talking about the orphans in the community, these people growing up without mamas and daddies. He said, we're talking about things that we can consume upon our own lust. Is that not the heart that we see in a lot of churches today? And a lot of times, listen, you know, somebody said, you know, when we went to Kenya, me and Brother Brad, they made the statement, I'm sure y'all were a great blessing to them. And I said, y'all got this all backwards. I said, what I got is I got preached to. And I didn't get preached to by messages. I got preached to by I was watching people sacrifice and give and have a burden to carry the gospel, and had a burden to sacrifice and do all kinds of things for God. And it wasn't about them, and it wasn't about consuming things upon their own lust. It was about, how can I take what God has given me, and they didn't have a lot, but they were saying, I want to take what God has given me, and I want to see how I can help other people. I want to see how I can share the gospel with my neighbor. I want to see how I can help this poor person down here, show them some kindness, that I can show them the love of Christ, where they would therefore see Christ within me. Because one of the things that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount is that the world might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And I know there's a lot more to that than just ministration. I know that good works is talking about our moral character. I know that's about the doctrines we keep. I know it's going into multiple things. But it is also a part of how we treat those that are less fortunate than us, or those that are in need. And there needs to be that heart amongst God's people that we have a servant's heart. You know, it's not going to be too long till we have the feet washing service come up and the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper, a wonderful thing that points to what Christ has done for us and how He sacrificed His own body and His own flesh for our sins to be forgiven. But the feet washing service is a service that reminds us to serve one another. The Lord said the greatest among you is going to be the one that serves. There is an attitude of service taught throughout the Scripture. Even Jesus, while He was here on this earth, He went to the poor. He went to the sinners. He went to the lame. He went to those that were in need and had compassion upon them. And it's one of the lessons that He taught His people. Can people get so focused on that they forget the other doctrines of the gospel? They sure can, and we've seen that too. But God didn't say that we pick one side or the other. We're to do all things whatsoever He's commanded us. All things. We're not to do one thing and leave something else undone. He got on to the Pharisees and the scribes for doing that. There were some things that they were focused on and they were just doing those things diligently, but there were other things that they left undone. And Jesus didn't tell His disciples to leave something else undone and go do this other stuff, did He? In fact, He told them, you need to do the things that they're teaching. You need to do some of the things that they're doing. He said, but you don't need to leave these others undone. And that's part of the burden that God has given us to preach on tonight and to deal with. Is I think a lot of God's people have forgotten about the widows. They've forgotten about the orphans. They've forgotten about those that are less fortunate. I think a lot of times, even when people have a desire to go out and share the gospel, they don't want to go to the trailer park. They don't want to go to the apartment buildings. They don't want to go to the places where they say, well, that's a poor neighborhood. There's crime there. There's this there. All these other things. But Jesus did. He went to the poor. He went to those people to share the gospel. Even in the book of 1 Corinthians, it lets us know there that He said, notice how there's not many mighty, not many noble after the flesh that have been called, but God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things of the wise. I know this from my own family. I don't know if my family would have been visited in our day and time with gospel outreach and door knocking and different things. My family plowed with mules. They didn't have a vehicle. They didn't have all kinds of other things years ago. They were poor. I don't know what names you would have given to some of my family and different things. Of what people had called them. Maybe even white trash would have been one of the names. I don't know. But I'm glad somebody reached the gospel to them. Had enough love and compassion to say these lives are just as valuable as anybody else's. And they reached out with compassion. And I believe sometimes we forget that we have a ministry. We're a part of a royal priesthood. And God has given us things to do. And it's not to wait on somebody else to go and do something. Is to look in our lives and see, God, where can I be of a help and a blessing? You know, I even think about my grandparents adopting my dad and my aunt and one of my uncles. They tried to adopt another uncle that just didn't go through. But I'm glad they had a desire to adopt. I'm glad they had a desire to reach out. I don't know where my aunt and uncle and my dad would have been without that. I'm glad they had a desire to help. I'm thankful for those who take in people and do foster care and these different things. Listen, that's not easy. But that may be the only way that that child will ever hear the gospel is somebody have a heart. The only way that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel And somebody looks at it and has a care. And we don't need to forget the widows either. Sometimes a phone call makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Sometimes a visit to the nursing home makes a huge difference. I felt like I've left nursing homes before where people just wanted to grab onto your clothes and hold you there for a little while. They didn't want you to leave. Do you know there's people that sit in nursing homes and their own families don't ever come to see them? And you don't have to be a preacher to go and visit somebody in a nursing home. You can just be somebody that cares. And there are orphanages around. And I know sometimes around Christmas time, they'll have a lot of churches line up and say, oh, we'll buy some gifts for the kids. Gifts are nice. But I'll tell you what, I've gone to some orphanages before, and the children are sitting there going, please don't leave. Because more than a gift, they want somebody that'll take time with them and let them know that somebody actually cares. And that's more valuable than a toy. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten comfortable in the way that the things work in our world and where we live. And we've forgotten to take time out of our day to go to those that are less fortunate and let them know that God loves them and let them know that God's people loves them. Before you can be a friend, the Bible teaches us that you must first show yourself to be friendly. Before we're going to win lost souls unto the Lord, we have to have a heart that lets people know that we care for them. Not because we can gain anything from them. Not because it's going to just make us feel better about ourselves, but because we see a need. And we also understand that if not for the grace of God, we could be in the same place. Having compassion is a very Christian thing to have. It is clearly taught by Jesus Christ throughout the Scriptures. It is taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, I'm against a lot of the government programs and different things for different reasons that I certainly won't go into. I believe what the Bible teaches, that to those who much has been given, much is required. And I believe that as God's people, we have a duty to reach out in our communities, in our home areas, and try to help those that are in need and look for opportunities to help. And I'll tell you this, there's a trade-off for everything we do in life. You can't have everything. Just can't. There's only 24 hours in a day. There's only 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year. We only have so much time. There's all there is trade-offs. But we need to see again as God's people what's really rewarding. Gaining things for ourselves, doing all these activities for ourselves, is not the most rewarding thing. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. That was a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul recited it to the elders at Ephesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. For everything we let go of on this earth, of all the things that we want, of all the things that we want to do, and I've never taught that we can't enjoy things or do nice things. I never taught that, and I never tried to preach or teach it. But there are times when we need to let go of what we want for what God wants. There is sacrifice required to lay up treasure in heaven. And these are some of the teachings that God has given us, that we look for ways in our life that we can sacrifice to help others in need. One of the commandments that's even given to us as God's people is esteem others more highly than ourselves. And I think somewhere along the way we've lost that. And I hope you understand when I say we, that was one of the first things that hit me while I was over in Kenya, was just shame. just shame. Some people said, oh, I bet they wish they could have some of the stuff that we have here. And I said, in all honesty, I said, I'm a lot more envious of them than I think they're envious of us. There's joy of the Lord. There's sacrifice. There's loving others like you love yourself, as God has taught. There's a lot of that we need to remember. There's a lot of that we need to relearn, so to speak. And I want to encourage us today that we understand as God's people that we've been called of God to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And again, I know that good works entails doctrine. I know it's godly living. I know all that, but it also includes our love for those that are less fortunate. Our being no respecter of persons, as the Bible would teach us. To have care for others. And that's not just a once in a while thing. You know, sometimes amongst God's people, and I'll try to close in just a moment, but sometimes amongst God's people, they'll say, well, this person had this big thing and we took up some money and gave here, or we took up some supplies and helped here. I know we get to do things as a group sometimes that's good and needful. But you know, every day of our life, in our daily life, we come across people that we have an opportunity with. There's young people probably all around us that even if they have a mom and daddy at home, they really don't have a mom and daddy. I think y'all seen that and know what I'm talking about. They don't have somebody teaching them right from wrong or good from evil. They don't have somebody with a desire to bring them to church. We're to reach out to a lost and dying world and show the gospel to them. Not just share it with them. Not just preach it to them, but show them the gospel. And somewhere along the way, we as God's people have left some of that off. And I've even seen it sometimes where they say, well, the preacher's supposed to do this. As we just read in the book of Acts, my duty is to feed you. And I have responsibilities in my life too. I can't just preach to you and not live the Word of God myself. I've got responsibilities to do that. I do. But I can't do it all. I think it would be foolish to ask any man to do that. One deacon can't do it all, can he? We all have a role to fill in the work of God. We all have a work to do. And we need to look in our lives and look out and have compassion upon others and look for opportunities not just to tell the gospel to somebody, which we need to do, but to show the gospel to people and how we care about them and how we care about those in need. Because the more we show people that we love them, the more they'll be willing to listen to what we have to say. And so let us live the gospel and minister the gospel unto people as God has taught us to do. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we invite you to come as we have a verse of a song.